May He come in and transform our life. Let us, Father, listen and be ready to translate it into actions, so that we may be people who live and transform it by word when we are living in the society. Receive glory forever. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We sit down, and as I said, our preacher is Abel, but I'm going to introduce the word of today and draw it from the text we have read from Exodus. And it's about Moses, as you have listened to the reading. Today we are going to talk about training up our children God's way. And you all know the verse of Proverbs 22, verse 6, which says, if you train a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he will not turn from it. That's what the Bible tells us. And when the Bible says that we should train our children in God's way, you know that there is only one way. There is no two ways. When you read Proverbs, and when the Bible says that we have to train children in God's way, the Bible is talking about the way of the wise, or the way of the righteous. There is two ways. The way of the wise, and the opposite of the way of the wise is the way of the fool. The opposite of the way of the righteous is the way of the wicked. So you cannot go in two ways at the same time. There is a saying in Congo which says that the dog has four legs, but it follows only one way. So you cannot say that because you have two feet, then you can follow two ways at the same moment. So before us and before our children, we have only one way. The way of the wise. And if your child is not in the way of the wise, that means he is in the way of the fool, of the way, or the way of the wicked. So when we read this text, and if you read chapter 1, you will find that these people, the Hebrews, were going through a very difficult time. And we have two ordinary people. The first is called, the father is called Amram, and the mother is Jochebed, the parents of Moses. So Moses is born two ordinary people. But these ordinary people, they know their identity. They know that we are living in Egypt, but we are Hebrews. So they know who they are. They can lead their children the way of the righteous, the way of the wise. But it was not easy for them to lead their child in the way of the wise. Moses is born in a very difficult time, the time of confusion, the time these people are slaves. And you remember that there were a decree, the decree of Pharaoh, which says that these people are becoming numerous in this country. The Bible says that they were everywhere in the land. And the Bible says that Pharaoh, that time, was a man with different attitude, because the Pharaoh who knew Joseph was not there. The Bible says that he knew not Joseph. And when the Bible says that he knew not Joseph, that does not mean that he he did not hear about him, but he decided to care not about what Joseph did in Egypt. You know what? Joseph is the person who saved Egypt from famine. But the Bible says that he knew not. He knew not. He decided not to care of the agreement he did with Joseph. So Moses is born in a very difficult time where the father and the mother are slaves, where there is a decree which says that if there is a newborn, a male, they have to kill him at birth. And you know that midwives did not cooperate with Pharaoh. So he decided to say that if they do not cooperate, then you can throw them in the Nile. And when you have a newborn, this parent decided to hit him. They defied the decrees of Pharaoh. And it was not easy. It was very difficult. You may think about it, how you can hide your child in the lake and wait for everything which can be and meet him there. So it was not easy. But what we read in the Bible that God brought three people, and unfortunately, those three people are only, I don't know if I have to say unfortunately or fortunately, God brought three people, and all of them were women. They were the mother of Moses, the sister of Moses, and the daughter of Pharaoh. All of them, fortunately, were women. Where are men? Yes, that's the question. The father, Amram, is not seated here. But three women served Moses. The mother, the sister, and the daughter of Pharaoh. The Bible says that when the daughter of Pharaoh saw the child who was crying, she said, "This child is looking for his mother." She thought about breastfeeding. So she decided with God to give him back to the parent through what said Miriam, the sister of the son. So God knows that the place where a child can be trained up in God's way is the family, is the household, in the presence of the father and the mother. I don't know whether when Moses came back home, I don't know whether Amram was available. Because Amram was a slave. I don't know whether he had time to talk to Moses when he was a child. Or maybe it's only the mother of Moses who took this opportunity to talk to Moses about their God, the promises he did to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Bible says that he planted a seed which even later when Moses was in the house of Pharaoh, it was not possible to remove it. So it means that the household is a place where we can plant a seed in our children, and everywhere they go, they will not turn from it. Nobody will be able to remove it from his heart. Our preacher today, Abel, is a special preacher because, let me tell you, because Abel was brought to Jesus by his mother. I know Abel very well, and I know the story. So I think, Abel, you are going to tell us
how you came to Jesus Christ through your mother. And how, because now you are married, you are a father of one daughter, how you think as a family we can bring our children to the Lord through what we are doing in the household, because that's what we are going to talk about today. So welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Muyonga, for this introduction. I'm going to give a little bit of my testimony and some of the lessons that I've learned from my experience and most importantly from the Word of God. My late mother, the Lord took him in the month of April this year. My mother was very much involved in my education, as most mothers. But I grew up as a very critical person, and I used to doubt almost everything. But thank God, my mother was the first to take me to Sunday school, and not only to take me to Sunday school, but to have Sunday school at home, and to teach me Christian songs, and to teach me the Bible. In fact, most of the Bible I know today, I've learned it from my mother. Through instruction, and through, most importantly, through example. And one example I always remember is the example my mother gave me about generosity. I think I was 9 years old. We received at home, my brothers and my sister, we received gifts. It was outfit. It was new. And they were coming from abroad. And I knew that among my friends, my classmates, no one could beat me. And I used to love those outfits. Until one day we visited a family where they were less fortunate, I would say. And when we came back, my mother asked me, what do I think I could do for that family? And I had a friend in that family. And I saw her look to my clothes. And I knew that it was something very painful that she was going to suggest me. But after struggling, I took the cloth and I gave it to her. I never forget that cloth. I still have the picture of that cloth today. It was very beautiful, very, very beautiful. And later on, I saw my mother giving, not just giving what she has, but giving what she needs. And giving to people that will never give back to her. Giving without expecting anything in return. I'm still today challenged. Every time I think of her, every time I go through what the Bible teaches about love and parenting. And I'm still challenged today when I see my daughter and when I pray for her. I can't help but ask God if I will be up to the standards that my mother set for us. And today, as Dr. Muyonga said, that Moses' parents were very much involved, probably very much involved in his bringing up as a child. And the Bible says that we are in Proverbs, the scripture that we have on the screen, Proverbs 22, verse 6, I really want to encourage us to read that scripture closely. Because when I read it, there are three things I get from that scripture that I want to share with you. And I believe that if we are having two speakers today, it's probably because the emphasis the church wants to put on parenting in God's way. And we are probably going to have a series of teachings as we move ahead in the planning about that topic. But today we just want to introduce this topic. It was introduced in the French service. We had a guest speaker from Kenya, and we are very blessed, but we didn't find the time to have him also to meet with us in the English service. So we want to introduce this topic, and by God's grace, we'll be able to go deeper into it, into several teachings. When the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he grow old, he will not turn from it. God is calling us firstly to train, to be trainers. A trainer is somebody who is present physically. A trainer is somebody who is involved in the performance of the follower or the player, if you are to use the language in sports. The Bible is calling me as a father to be present in my child's education, in my child's development, to be present and to mold my child, to mold my child's behavior, so that through my instruction, through my example, my child, when he grows up, he can choose for God's way. As Isaac said it, God has a way. Hallelujah. The world also has its way. So we cannot just leave our children to decide by themselves. We have to be involved so that when the child grows up, he can follow God's way. There's a scripture in Genesis chapter 18. Can we project it, please? Genesis 18, verse 19. This is God speaking about his servant Abraham. And he says, for I have chosen him, I have chosen Abraham, that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. Hallelujah. This is the purpose God chose Abraham. Genesis 18:19. He chose him the same way he chose you and me, so that we may command. You see, God is trusting us to be intentional in the way we are dealing with our children. God chose Abraham so that he may command, not giving them just an option, but commanding them, just like a trainer. Because if you are a trainer, it means that you have a clear vision of where you want to lead your team. And God is expecting and is trusting you and I to cast out that vision and to take our children into that vision and to lead them in the way of righteousness, in the way of justice. And when we look at Moses, later on when Moses grew up, after he was sent back to the house of Pharaoh, Moses will come out and see his brothers and see injustice around him. As we have read in Exodus 2, Moses was not indifferent. He responded with righteousness, with justice. Why? Because, as Isaac said, he had a seed in him. And at the right time, that seed came out. And God used it in the future to deliver his people. So there is a connection between the potential that God has placed in my child and the destiny or the future that God has designed for my child. And me, as a parent, God is trusting me to link up my child's potential to the destiny or the future that God has designed for him. And God expects me to play the role of leading my child into God's given destiny. And there's a way we do it, as we were taught here during the French seminar, that the involvement of me as a parent is not the same at different stages of my child's upbringing. We were told, for example, that before 10 years old, my role as a parent in my child's life is the role of a master. At that stage, my responsibility as a parent is to set the standards, to set the rules, to enforce those rules, so that when the child grows up, because as the child grows up, my influence over my child's life reduces. So when my child is still very young, before 10 years old, God expects me to be his master, to train him, to help him learn what is right, and if necessary, to use the flock. Hallelujah. And between 11 and 20 years old, my role as a father is to be my child's guide, to support his dream, to coach him, to see life from my child's perspective. Because at that point, I would have invested, I would have planted the seed of God's word in him, and I will be able to see how my child is now slowly by slowly confronting what he has received and what is in the environment. And my role is to accompany him, to support him. And after 20 years old, at that point, my role is the role of a friend. Because at that time, my child will question everything. He makes decisions for himself. He can take care of himself. And I have to be there, not as a master, but as a friend. So there is more to learn about this topic, and we are not going to go into the details. But I just want to encourage us. There's a book, if the media has the PPT I sent, you can just go to the second slide. There's a book that we want to recommend to us. That's the book that includes most of the teachings that we have on this topic. The book will be made available to us in the days to come. But if you are interested, we want to encourage all of us to sign up at the church office so that we can order the book for those who want it. So by the time we go into those teachings, we'll be able to go together and go into the details of this topic. So I just want to close this time by saying this. When the Bible says that when my child is old, he will not turn away, this is a promise that God is making to you and I. And it's also an invitation to us to trust God. Because we know that even if I have a responsibility to be involved in my child's future, but it is possible that for one reason or another, we have not been faithful. Or maybe we have been faithful, but in God's sovereignty, God has allowed the devil to mess up with our lives. But there is a promise that God has made that I know in Jeremiah 29 verse 11. I know the plans that I have for you. And these plans are not the plans to harm us, but those are plans to give us a bright future. Hallelujah. So, we are invited to trust God, even if we have had the responsibility to be involved, but we are not superpowers. There are things that we can change, but there are things that only God can change. But God is inviting us not to change what we can't change, but God is inviting us to plant the seed. Hallelujah. And to trust Him for the miracle. And if God is still giving our children the breath of life, it means that He has not done with us. Hallelujah. Can we stand up and pray?
I need thee, oh, I need thee.
I want this to be your prayer and to say to God, I've come to you today and I need you. I do not know what the future holds for my child. I do not know what my future holds for me as a parent. You may not be a parent today, but you have this calling upon you. And when you look at the future, maybe you are scared for yourself or for your child. But I want you to say to God today, I still need you. And as long as you will give me the breath of life, I will trust your promise that as a parent, I will make it by your grace. And because of your faithfulness, my child will see the prosperity that you have promised in your word. Can we open our mouth and pray? Father, we come to you. We need you this morning. We need you because only you can make us go into the way that you have chosen. Only you can take us into the future that you have designed for us, for our children. This morning we want to trust you. We want to renew our commitment to our children's upbringing and development. And we know we cannot make it without you. Come and help us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Sit down, please.